Will you turn to Jeremiah chapter 1, please? Jeremiah chapter 1. God got me out of this one last week, but he only did that once. Jeremiah was called of God, and he obeyed the call. And at first he was pleased. When God first calls us to him, that is regularly exhilarating or joyful. Not always. Serving God for Jeremiah turned out to be much longer and more difficult than he thought. He had some dark days. And so we're going to begin today with how God called Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1. That's just sort of a backdrop. And then in chapters 15 to 20, we're going to look at about four prayers that he prayed to God. Prayers of disappointment in God in one way or another. We don't find prayers like this in other prophets. He had a sort of a unique experience. This sermon is called Call and Disappointment. God called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah obeyed, and he found serving God tougher than he thought. He was often close to despair, actually, but he was faithful to God. And based on the dates that Jeremiah gives us in the very first paragraph of the book, he spoke for God 40 years plus. So he's a young man when he's called. He was a priest. And the dates go about 41 years. And if he went to Egypt with him, we're at 42 or 43. So a solid 40 years. And we have at least two good reasons to read his dark prayers. One is we need to know that faithful servants of God sometimes feel like this. Sometimes experience life like this. Lots of us feel like this sometimes, but some of us feel like this a lot. And those who find themselves in this place of despair, we need to know we're not the first. Some whom God calls regularly find themselves in despair. And that is not a contradiction to their being called and actually being faithful to their calling. All right? I want to make that clear. Jeremiah was close to despair and he was faithful to his calling right through. Although there's a story there. Two, the rest of us need to know this so we will be patient and not dismiss these people or wonder why they don't get it or wonder when they will get their lives together so they can be like us. We all struggle in many ways, and this is one of the ways God's people battle darkness. God never told Jeremiah to get his life together. Jeremiah served God, he did what God wanted, and he suffered. All right, appointed at birth, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 to 8. Appointed before birth is what I meant to say. Appointed before birth. Jeremiah 1:4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm too young. But the Lord said to me, don't say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7 is clear that every believer is called. I want to talk about the word calling for a minute. Every believer is called by God to serve where we are. We have an assignment from God, and it's to be faithful where we are. We never need to change our situation to be called by God. That's what he's going after. Never. We never have to change our situation in order to be called by God, in order to have our assignment. Where we find ourselves is our calling and is our assignment. The only question is, will we be faithful to God there? Will we trust him and live in his ways there? If you can change your circumstances for the better, fine. Do that. Paul often did. Jesus did. There's nothing wrong with changing your circumstance for the better. But you never need to change your situation in order to be called and in order to serve. Never. If you're a believer in Christ, you are as called and assigned as anybody ever will be. And if you get God moves you into something else, then that's just a different call. He's taking you from one assignment to a different one. But you are called and assigned all along. Trust Him and obey Him where we are. So what I'm doing here is I want you to see yourself as in some ways chosen and assigned at birth. This is not just a few people. We read last week that God knew us before the foundation of the world. So this is not just Jeremiah here. So anyway, God told Jeremiah, so I want you to keep yourself in the background, that Jeremiah's life is like yours and mine. God told Jeremiah that the people were not going to like what he was saying, but God would protect him. So that came right at the start. God is pretty clear in chapter 1, if you look at it all, that this was not going to be an easy life for Jeremiah. Jeremiah must say what God told him to say. God says, do not waver on that. God will be with Jeremiah to help him. God will make sure his enemies will not destroy him. And in chapter 16, we find three more instructions to Jeremiah. One is, you will never get married. Two, you will never go to a funeral, because I have withdrawn my pity from Israel. And you will never go to a wedding celebration or any kind of celebration, because they have no right to celebrate. You will never marry, you will never go to a funeral, or you'll never go to any celebration. So for 40 years, Jeremiah, get a picture of this, people, he preached his temple sermon, which we talked about the first sermon on Jeremiah. If the people don't change their ways and their actions, God would destroy Jerusalem and the temple. If they didn't change, God would bring the Babylonians. And if they didn't believe God would do this, God said to them through Jeremiah, look at what's left of Shiloh, where the Israelites had kept the tabernacle back in Samuel's day. And God destroyed the temple in Shiloh because the Israelites are doing the same things. If Jeremiah's listeners do not turn to God, he would do the same thing to the temple. Jeremiah preached that for 40 years. And the temple was destroyed in about year 40 of those 40 years. In the meantime, folks, people had gotten tired of that sermon, as you can imagine. And they got tired of Jeremiah. How would you feel to have someone around who preached that sermon, any sermon every time, but particularly that one, for 40 years on some variation, one sermon? They tried hard to get rid of Jeremiah, and God kept rescuing him, and God would not let him stop preaching. But, folks, it was not an easy life. It was not an easy life. First prayer, Jeremiah 15. We're going to look at four prayers in chapters 15 to 20. Prayers of disappointment. 15:15. We're going to start at chapter 15, verse 15. God, you deceived me. You failed me. And you will see in these prayers just a great range of emotional distress and some high points. All right. Jeremiah 15:15. Lord, you understand. Remember me and care for me. Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers. I never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails. When God first called Jeremiah and gave him a message, he was delighted. God wanted him to serve. It was exhilarating. But speaking the message brought him reproach, insult, persecution. It put him against his own people. It isolated him. It made him unpleasant company. It was wonderful to be called by God, and it brought him pain and wounds. He says, "Why is my pain unending and my wound grievous and incurable? You are to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails." Jeremiah told God he was like the brook that gave Elijah water in the desert and then dried up. Jeremiah told God, "You told me you'd take care of me. You're not. You deceived me, and your care has dried up." God responds. I'm going to read beginning first half of verse 19 and verse 21. Verse 19. This is what the Lord says. "If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me." Verse 21. "I will save you from the hands of the wicked and deliver you from the grasp of the cruel." Let's read that first line again, verse 19. "Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you to me, that you may serve me." Jeremiah had just said, "God, you are to me a deceptive brook, a spring that fails." God is saying, "Jeremiah, that won't work. You need to repent. You're telling me I'm not faithful and that you can't trust me. There's no future in that. There's no future in that. Turn from that. Turn back to me. If you repent, I will restore you that you may stand before me and serve me." Here's a question, people. A real basic question. Do you want to serve God? May God use your life in His service? This is a fundamental question. Don't tell me, but tell God, yes or no. Do you want to serve God? Do you want to be a servant of God? May God use your life in His service. We, like Jeremiah, go to our God with our troubles. That's good. We should go to God with our troubles. But God says, "Will you be my servant? May I use your life in my service?" That's what He's asking. If we will trust Him and live obedient lives right where God put us, we are His servants. But God wants a yes to the question. May I use you in my service? It's a very fundamental question. He will restore us and make us sure we can serve Him. If that is the goal, to be used in His service, and we say yes, it will happen. You can't lose it. Whatever else fails, that won't fail. And so there's questions we want God to answer for us, but He wants to hear this one. He's got one for us that we need to answer to Him. May I use your life in my service? So that's what He's saying. You can't, and you have, there has to be some basic trust in God. So Jeremiah apparently turned back to God at that point. He decided, I mean, his life didn't get any better, but he decided he would keep putting his trust in God. That's the first prayer. Number two, Jeremiah 17:14. It starts in Jeremiah 17:14. "You are my refuge, destroy my enemies. You are my refuge, destroy my enemies." Jeremiah 17:14. "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are the one I praise. And they keep saying to me, 'Where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled.'" That's what they're saying. "I have not run away from being your shepherd. You know I have not desired the day of despair. What passes my lips is open before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let my persecutors be put to shame, but keep me from shame. Let them be terrified, but keep me from terror. Bring on them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction." They keep saying to me, "Where is the word of the Lord? Let it now be fulfilled." Remember, Jeremiah has been predicting a certain judgment, and it took about 40 years. So after 10 years and after 20 years, they mocked him. Where's the word of the Lord? May it now be fulfilled. It's not happening, Jeremiah. After 30 years, after 35 years, his whole life, they're mocking him. Bring it on, Jeremiah. Let it be fulfilled. He was hurt and angry at them. He's just telling them what God wanted him to tell them, and they persecute him. And he prayed that his persecutors would be shamed and terrified them, bring on them disaster, destroy them. We'll come back to that kind of praying a little. That's his third prayer. That's his second prayer. Third one, Jeremiah 18:21. Jeremiah 18:21. Do not forgive my accusers. Jeremiah 18:21. In the verses before that, Jeremiah tells God again how the Jews accuse him. God tells Jeremiah several times in the book, at least three that I have noticed, do not pray for Judah. I'm going to punish them. Do not pray for them. But you know what? He did. He preached to them that they were going to be destroyed. And then he went alone and he said, God, turn your wrath away from them. Turn your wrath away from them. God told him to stop doing that. He didn't stop. God didn't turn his wrath away. But then he does that, and then they attack him as if he's their enemy. He's preaching what God said, and in secret he prays that it won't happen, and then they attack him for being his enemy. So he's furious. And this is where that goes. Jeremiah 18:21. So give their children over to famine, hand them over to the power of the sword, let their wives be made childless and widows, let their men be put to death, their young men slain by the sword in battle, that a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring invaders against them, for they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. You, Lord, know all their plots to kill me. Do not forgive their crimes or blot out their sins from your sight. Let them be overthrown before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. Have you ever asked God to smite somebody in language like this? There are several psalms that do this, you know. This is more established in Old Testament worship than it is for us. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this is what Jeremiah said to God. He did not talk to his friends like that, and he did not talk to his enemies like that. He did talk to God like this. Jeremiah did not attack his enemies. He did not raise his hand or his mouth against his enemies. But he prayed to God for their punishment. If you are raging, people, this is the way to handle it. God does not say he will do it, but we are permitted to ask if we are raging, and sometimes we are. Express it like this. Jesus does urge us to pray for our enemies, and not in this kind of a way. But there are three times in the New Testament that God listens to prayers for justice. I want justice, and God listens to them. So, if you are raging, this is what to do about it. You tell God. You don't tell the world, and you don't pick up a gun. You rage at God, say, deal with it when you think the time is right. And here are some ideas about what you could do. Jeremiah did that about his persecutors, his fellow Israelites who gave him grief. Number four, the fourth prayer. Jeremiah 20, verse 7. This is a whopper. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. This last prayer actually has three quite separate parts. Chapter 20, verse 7. You deceived me. You deceived me, Lord. I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say, I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying, perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. So, Jeremiah is preaching that the people need to turn to God or there will be punishment. And that message brought Jeremiah so much insult and trouble, he decided to quit. I'm not preaching that sermon anymore. He couldn't keep it in. He said, I quit. Not doing it anymore. God wants me to say, turn to God or he'll bring destruction. But I quit. I'm not preaching that anymore. I'm done. But he couldn't keep it in. He couldn't keep it in. God's spirit was too strong. He overpowered me and prevailed. And he went back to the temple and preached it again. Because he could not. Who gets the credit here? Jeremiah or God? I'm not sure. God certainly gets some of the credit. But that was his experience of resigning from being a prophet. Couldn't be done. Couldn't be done. And then in verse 11, praise, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. Well, finally a moment of great confidence and joy in the Lord. You are with me like a mighty warrior. So in verse 7 he said, you deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. And in verse 11, out of the blue, but the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. And we get a few lines of confidence. And in verse 14, hardly without changing a breath, he switches directions again. Cursed be the day I was born. May the day my mother bore me not be blessed. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and die in shame? Jeremiah's mind and emotions jump violently from one to another with just complete switch. He's a mess. He's traumatized. Some would say he needs therapy. He was a mess. But get this, people, he spoke God's words faithfully for more than 40 years. At considerable cost to himself. He spoke God's word faithfully for more than 40 years. But now let's talk about him cursing his birth. I'll come back to that, this is in verse 14 to 18. I'm going to read the first and the end. Cursed be the day I was born, the day my mother bore me, not be blessed. Why did I ever come out of the womb to see trouble and die in shame? What does God think about that? God has already told us what he thinks about this. God has spoken about Jeremiah's birth. We read it right at the start. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah cursed the day of his birth, and he was wrong. Plain and simple wrong. God had already spoken clearly to Jeremiah about his birth. It was ordained by God. So his calling in Jeremiah 1 tells us this is wrong. I'm going to take a detour here to Job's repentance. If you'll let me a detour here right at the end. It connects with Jeremiah cursing his birth. In the last chapter of Job, chapter 42, Job repents in dust and ashes. A few verses later, God tells Job's three friends, I am angry with you, friends of Job, because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. And God says that very same line twice, completely. I'm angry at you because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So if Job was speaking the truth about God all along, of what does he repent? What did he do wrong? And the answer is, he did the same thing Jeremiah did. In Job 3, Job cursed the day of his birth. Very similar terms to what Jeremiah did at the end of chapter 20. And on the same theme, Job says in chapter 7, I despise my life. And in chapter 9, I despise my life. Chapter 10, I loathe my life. Job thinks his life is a big mistake. It was not worth living. The better if he had not been born. And of that he repented. He had despised his life. Of that he repented, and that's why he uses the same word. I despise myself. I repent in dust and ashes. I spoke about things I did not understand. He thought his life was meaningless, and to God it had a purpose. Job spoke the truth about God all the way along. But he thought his life was a mistake, and of that he repented. He did not speak the truth about himself. He really thought his life was a mistake. It was a mess. And he cursed it. I spoke of things I did not understand. He said, Job said, no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Jeremiah needed to repent in the same way. I don't know if he did or not. Job needed to repent of this. But listen, even though Job needed to repent of this, he was still God's servant all along. I spoke the truth about God all along. Job detour is over. Let's pull this together. What can we see from what Jeremiah has done? Some of God's faithful servants experience life like this. Some did back then, and some still do. We are still faithful servants. It can feel like our lives have fallen off the rails way back then, and it has not happened. God used Jeremiah in his service the whole life, and the basic question from God stands, will you be my servant? Can I use your life in my service? That's the question. Can I use your life for my purposes? Yes or no? And if we experience life like Jeremiah rarely or never, let's not be like Job's friends or Jeremiah's friends who turned on him. We have to give God permission to treat we people we love like this. We shall not blame them or turn away from them. And notice that Jeremiah here, never occurred to him that this is his fault. We would beat ourselves up if our life was a mess. Never occurs to Jeremiah that's his fault. And they try to make it Job's fault. He says, nope, this is not my fault. We just assume it's our fault. We've done something terribly wrong. Doesn't occur to Jeremiah once in all his mourning. That's not, doesn't come up. This is not his fault. This is an unhappy calling and he doesn't like it. In spite of all that suffering was his undying in that there's also in scripture, in the bigger picture, remember this complete certainty overall that being God's people was the best thing that could happen to any human. And that's true even in Jeremiah. Being one of God's people is the best thing that could happen. Blessed is the one who delights in God's ways is how Psalm 1 begins. But we may not silence the experience of some like Jeremiah along that path. Amen. Let's pray. Will you stand, please? Here are some lines from Psalm 103. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers we are dust. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. Our Father, have compassion on your children. Remember how you formed us. Remember that we are dust. Remember the burdens we carry around and the fears, the distress. May your everlasting love be with us. May your compassion be with us, God, and your righteousness with us and with our children. Amen. You may be seated.